Well, good morning. Thank you for being here at this workshop this morning. Interesting, we've got a lot of the military folks here, so it is a little different dynamic. But you'll see the topic here is, from a standpoint of a church perspective, how is it that pastors, leaders within those organizations, would be able to minister to individuals who are either military folks and or veterans. And let me just ask a question as I start off with, okay? So how many of you have been in a church to where there's either active duty and or veterans in that church? Every hand. Which is what I run into as I travel all over the country. And ironically, because of that, sometimes pastors will share with me, this is a unique group of individuals. And I say, yes, they are. Yes, they are. But boy, they can be unique in a really, really positive way if pastors will take advantage of it. Now, due to the fact of this particular audience being 80% on the military side, there's another point to this. And the point is, how is it that you can pull up alongside a pastor in one of these churches and help them to understand these are the skills or these are the dynamics that we can come and be of a benefit to you and to this local ministry, right? So there's kind of a twofold aspect. Sometimes we have to share. Sometimes a pastor is looking to say, I'm not quite sure how to utilize some of these guys or maybe some questions that I need to think through or some thoughts. So we're going to go through those today, okay? But probably the best place to start before we go anywhere is 1 Corinthians 12. Would you join me there? Because as I was thinking through this, it doesn't matter from the veteran perspective. It doesn't matter from the military perspective. It matters from God's perspective. And it matters from the perspective that God says, my institution that I use in this particular day and age is what? The local church. So that's where we got to start. We've got to go back to the local church and make sure that we're keeping within those parameters. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church of Corinth, is sharing some very key instructions here as it provides to the church. And he starts off there, if I can, in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I have given to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities. Where have we heard this word before? You military guys hear it all the time, don't you? Whether it's pluralism, diversity. But what does that really mean, that aspect of diversity? Different. We're all different. And in this case, he's going to go on to say there's a diversity of gifts. First, in this passage, he's going to hit it, and he's going to say there are those diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are the differences of administrations, or maybe, you know, the word ministries there, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same Lord that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with hope. Drop down, if you would, to verse 11. Because then he's going to transition. But all these worketh that one of the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Then he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, there's that idea of diversities again. And all the members that are one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18. The whole purpose is wrapped up in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, what? As it has pleased Him. So, you know, when we think about the diversities that take place in these churches and how God has orchestrated through His sovereignty and brought people into these ministries, we can stand back and say, God, this is all of You. This is your ministry. This is your organization. Now, you think from a pastoral standpoint, Lord, you've allowed me to be the under-shepherd of this organization. I praise the Lord for it. But boy, that means you got to do some thinking through this, doesn't it? You know, and as you start through that, some of the things you have to start through. There's a challenge of the pastor to actually have to discern where people are in this body. You know, I don't know how many times, maybe you as a pastor or working in that ministry or even in the chaplaincy and different things. From the standpoint of spiritual gifts, just that whole piece of 1 Corinthians 12, just the first part of it. We know that people have those different spiritual gifts. And oh, by the way, what's the purpose of those spiritual gifts? To be used for what? Edification of the local body. So that pastor. And here's an interesting thing. Let's see, a person just gets saved. They're born again and they're really, trying to figure out where they fit into the body. And sometimes that pastor is able to help them to discern. But you know what? You are really a servant. I mean, you are just an amazing servant. It just seems to be so natural to you. Or individuals who were just givers. I mean, they just give the shirt off their back. You've seen people like that, right? Maybe you see that one who's got the gift of administration, and it just seems like they're that organizer. They just want to put it all together. That's me. I love it. I've always loved being that second man, quite frankly, because of that. Because as from a pastor standpoint, pastor, you take care of the preaching and all the different things. Let me just pull up alongside of you and do what I can to help make things smooth in this ministry for you. Boy, think a pastor likes that? So, from that standpoint, we see that pastor has to start discerning through what are those spiritual gifts. But then you have another dynamic that's in there. When you start thinking about this body that God has put together, here's an interesting thing. There's a difference in people. And when you take into consideration in our day and age, the idea that very few people even live anymore in the area that they were reared from, and how people are so mobile, and how people are just all over, and with that, and that's not just U.S., is it? Because now you throw in there. Here's an interesting thing. Within our church, of about 150, okay, about 1/4 of our church is islanders from Micronesia, from Fiji, from Pohnpei, from Guam, got a couple from Japan, all these folks. And it's amazing how they've just kind of all converted just come into this one area right here. And we praise the Lord for that. But boy, that's some interesting dynamics, just the aspect of people. Boy, they can sing. And we'll have them do specials sometimes. One of them will break out a ukulele. And boy, I'm telling you, it's some good stuff. So the difference in the people has a part of that body. But even then, you have to ask, here's from a pastoral standpoint, you see that and you go, man, how do I use that in this body? How do I use their differences of who they are as a part of that body? Because, think about it. They may have an entirely different culture, right? Could that play into the body of Christ in your local church? Yes or no? Yep. So as a pastor gets to know those people and really is spending time with those people and ministering to those people, you know what else he finds out? How those people can be used in this ministry in a very effective way. Amen? So that's part of it. Well, then you take it a step farther, because from there, there's another thing that you see within this body. A lot of folks come with a lot of different talents too. So apart from the spiritual gifts, what do you see in that? What's included in the talents? We can all speak here, right? What's included in the talents here?
Singing.
Singing.
You may have some individual comes in and, you know, maybe they've sung in the New York Opera. And they got a voice like a meadowlark. And boy, I tell you what a blessing that is. You know, how many of you have been in a church where there's been no pianist? Does that change the dynamics of the worship? Yeah, it does. Sure does. There's been times that we've traveled on vacation and was in a small little church down in Seneca, South Carolina, outside of Table Rock. Went to that little church on a Sunday morning. Guy stood up, first thing he said, "I'm sorry, folks, but Aunt Marge, she's under the weather today. And she is just not feeling well. So we're just going to have to sing Acapulco because nobody's going to..." And then he said something like this, "Unless there's somebody here that knows how to play the piano." That's how he said it. And I elbowed my daughter. And she said, "Oh, Dad." I said, "That's why God gave you this talent there." I raised my hand. And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Honey, you can play the piano?" "Oh, yes, he can." "Okay, how do you play?" "Well, whatever you want to play." "You can even read music?" Man. So my daughter became the pianist that day. Those are important things. I mean, and just nothing wrong with my daughter. It's just a talent that God has given her to be used for the glory of God. But you know, as a pastor, when you start seeing those people come into your ministry, what's one of the first things that you really want to know after getting to know them and their spiritual gifts? You want to know what kind of talents they got. Whether they play the ukulele or whether they play the viola or violin. We have this little tiny section, the first five seats in our church. It's our little orchestra. I think three of them are my kids, but you know, we got this little orchestra here. Trumpets and violas and violins and you name it. And you know what that does? Boy, that enhances that ministry. But let's go further, because it's not just talents. There's also another thing that you see here from this perspective, and it's this. You have all kinds of people in your church that come with professional skills. You know, and the more you start getting to know some of those people in that ministry, then those skills can be very helpful as well. For instance, what if you have a policeman in your ministry? Is that a good thing for the pastor to know that you have a policeman or two in there? Yeah? How could the pastor utilize that, Brother Larry?
Your safety team.
In this day and age, you just about can't get away without having a security team, some kind of safety team. And there's nobody better in that ministry than a guy who's already trained and already has, and in some cases, may be a badge carrier and possibly even a weapon carrier. You know? So when a pastor knows that, it's like, well, we've got a guy in our church that's a police officer. And so he, on an annual basis, he teaches our safety and security classes. Okay, what other kind of things? How about a doctor? You know? How about a lawyer? You know? From those standpoints. Those are all good things. But there's another whole profession out there that is really one of the reasons why this workshop is here, is because there's another group out there of those military veterans. Professional skills that those guys have and what they bring to the table. What do you mean? Well, for instance, there's some unique characters of the veterans. Now think about this from this standpoint. When I talk about character, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about like Tavis is a character, you know. He is, but we're not talking about that. So when I say about character, what am I talking about? What is character?
Their composition, their personality, what drives them, or maybe you're talking about their moral character.
Oh, can I say this? How about just put all that together? It's really who you are. I've heard somebody say this, your character is who you are when no one else is around. You know, what you really are, who you really are, your moral makeup, your what drives you, the real you inside. Can I tell you something interesting about soldiers, sailors, Marines? Sometimes when they started off going to those basic trainings or those boot camps or those other different places that they went, here's something that's interesting. The military began to break them down
and to rebuild them in some capacity. And in the process of doing so, began to work on their character. So much so that in some cases, like in our case, they gave it a title. It was the Army Value System. We've had this around for several years. And what was it? Well, you know, from basic training, from day one, they're hitting you with this aspect right here. This is the Army Values, baby. All comes out to spell leadership. Nice little acronym. But then you say, hey, how does this apply to my character? And oh, by the way, why is this important to a pastor? Why would this ever be important to a minister from that standpoint? So, sorry about that. Don't have no vibrate. Can't get it stuck. So basically, why would that be important? Well, here's the aspects of leadership. For instance, you know, when you look at these one at a time, the first one there, if I can get it to work. Come on, baby. It's not working. Stop them. So what's the L? Loyalty. What is loyalty? You bear true faith and allegiance to the United States Constitution, the Army, your unit, and to other soldiers. Can I ask you a question? Do you think loyalty is important to a minister? Do you think loyalty is important to a pastor? Is loyalty important to you? Which way does loyalty work, by the way? Is it just up or down, or down or up, or how does it work? Well, it's really both ways, right? And boy, wouldn't that be something for a pastor to know, man, I need people in my ministry that I know they're going to be loyal to me. You know what? I'm a deacon in our church as well. And one of the first things our pastor says, I just want to know that you're going to be loyal to this minister. And I also want to know that your phone's going to stop ringing. So I want to know if you're going to be loyal to this. You know, one of the things you can help a pastor, you got military guys, is even something as simple as letting those folks in those ministries know this is what guys may be bringing to the table. What's the D stand for? Duty. Duty. Fulfilling your obligations. Wow, that in itself is pretty amazing from a pastor's standpoint. To know that he can give a responsibility to someone and know it's going to get done. How would a pastor feel about knowing that? Wow. Bring it on. Give me a whole bunch of these guys if that's what they bring to the table. Because I could use about a million of guys like that. How about respect? How about selfless service for the S? The aspect of putting the welfare of the nation, the army, and your subordinates before your own. But where does selfless service fit into our cause of Christ? Our allegiance to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as He has given His life for us, that we'd be willing to give it for the cause of Christ. Apply that to your church. And how does that look from the church perspective? Here's how it looks. Here, because as an assistant pastor several years, this is what they used to say. It's not about me. It's about this ministry. And I am totally committed to this ministry. And sacrificial unto this ministry. Man, you start sharing that with a pastor or a minister from that standpoint. He says, bring it on. I could use a whole bunch. Because you know what you see in this day and age more and more and more and more? It's all about me. The big guy. I've had this conversation at least 3 or 4 times right here at this meeting of pastors who have talked to me and told me that how people have just left over the last few days. You know why they left? Because they weren't getting their way in something in that ministry. Oh yeah, I'm not getting my way. You know, you're not letting my daughter do this or my son do this, and therefore we'll just go find another ministry because they'll let us do that. Wow. But yet you find somebody who's got selfless service. How about honor? Just living up to the Army values. Honor when it provides to Christianity. Yeah. When I uphold those Christian values. Integrity. Oh my goodness. Integrity. That seems to be something that's almost lost in our society today. But when you find an individual to where that's been ingrained into their character from the day one, when I walked into a platoon years ago, as a young second lieutenant, my platoon sergeant, and another young captain pulled up alongside me, here's what he told me. He said, young man, he said, here's the thing. You ever lose your integrity, he said, resign your commission. That was good advice. If you ever lose your integrity, resign your commission. Because he was saying, because if you have no integrity,
your troops are going to follow you across the street. Well, they won't cross the battlefield. Can I tell you something? Do you know how true that is in the church as much as it is on the battlefield? I just had a conversation with a young youth pastor not too long ago. And I told him on something one day. I said, look, if you are not keeping your word to your youth group, and you tell them you're going to do something, and then you don't do it, and you do that at least once or twice, it's only going to be a matter of time before you lose your integrity with those individuals. And the next time you tell them something that's really important that they need to do, they're going to look to you and say, nah, don't believe you.
How sad is that? You get to the point to where you are bringing this to the table as these military folks, these veterans, and folks that are bringing this to, and then also the last one is personal courage. Just the simple the aspect of personal courage. So, as well. Now, any thoughts? Any thoughts that come from this right here at this point? Can you, whether benefit, whether any dynamics that comes, any thoughts of how this could be applied within the local church? And again, I'm speaking from the Army value system, maybe the Navy, maybe the Air Force folks would weigh in, Bill Stutler would weigh in.
I was pastor for over 20 years, and I did not like surprises. And, you know, when you have character traits like that, you know what to expect, and you don't get blindsided very often.
So
it was very helpful.
Amen. So, and the interesting thing is, even when it comes to, here's another thought that just crossed my mind. Some of these churches may not just have active military folks in them, but they have some veterans from some of these years ago that are still in these ministries, especially some of these country churches that I run into. Man, some of these guys in there, they've been from World War II, as we just experienced with the D-Day thing, the 75th anniversary of that. And some of these guys have been around forever. But you know what's amazing? They still live those character traits of honor and respect, even in their 80s and 90s. And I say, praise the Lord. And even at that age, pastors are able to pull up along those old guys and say, hey, I could use what you've got here. Just because of these traits. But also, here's another thing to look at real quick, and that is this. Those military personnel, active or veterans, they come with some pretty special experiences and skill traits as well that I think it would be really important for a pastor to know up front. Hey, what did you do in the military? What were some of the things that you did? For instance, here's just some cool things that may be important. Like, some of these guys have been deployed all over the world multiple times. Let me just ask you a question. How could a pastor utilize that piece right there in his ministry?
Different cultures.
Back in the back first, Tim.
Different cultures in town, trying to communicate with them, connecting with them, connecting with other people from various places.
How many of you guys in here speak multiple languages? Okay. Right there is one of the key things. You know, I've been in conversations to where I'm standing there at the door, and a lady comes in, and family, and we're standing there talking, and all of a sudden the one is real quiet, and I can't figure out why they're so quiet, and then I come to the realization she don't speak a lick of English. And one of the guys says, oh, she speaks. Oh, hang on. One of the military guys in the church just so happens to speak that language. Isn't that cool? And is able to communicate with that person right there on the spot. Now let me ask you this. How far did that go in helping that lady to feel like I am welcome in this ministry? Just because of something that simple. And some of these military guys are linguists. We've got a guy that speaks Russian,
We've got folks that speak Japanese, boatloads that speak Spanish. You name it. The church that I go to is right outside of Fort Campbell, by the way, in Clarksville, Tennessee. We've got folks from everywhere. And then, oh, by the way, we got the whole Micronesian thing covered over here. Some of these folks speak all kinds of different dialects of islander stuff. I mean, it's amazing. But what that does for you is when somebody comes in, you can reach out to them immediately. One of the things that we were talking about in our church sometime was the aspect of going through a series on Islam. Because our people wanted to know, hey, all the things that's going on over in the Middle East, what's really going on with Islam? And I said, would you mind if I taught maybe a small series on Islam? Because as a chaplain at CENTCOM, that was one of the things I had to be well versed in, was the aspect of Islamic religious affairs. And boy, I was able to go through and say, hey, you know what it did for that church? They're like, I had no idea. I had no clue that Islam was so closely related to the Bible and the Old Testament in so many ways, and the parallels. But that was just basically due to a skill set that I picked up over those 30-some years. So, you know, why I say that to some of you young guys in here is this. When you fall into one of those churches somewhere, either currently or even after you're done with wearing this uniform, pull up alongside that pastor and let him know those skills that you've been trained with. It's not an aspect of bragging on what you've been, what you've done, you know, those kind of things. It's an aspect of saying, pastor, here's some things that just keep in the back of your mind that if I could be of any help to you. For instance, I'm not picking on John in any way, but you guys see John, the Coast Guard auxiliary chaplain. And I see him that way too. But I know of his background. And he's already been medically retired, right? From the Marine Corps as a lawyer. Now, that's, to me, I go, oh, there's a skill set that's nice to know. And so the things that he brings to the table. And when we start talking to one another, you find out, you know, Sean speaks Jack, what is
Norwegian.
What?
Norwegian.
Norwegian. See, it's like, you don't run into a lot of people that speak Norwegian. That's just good, you know.
Sorry.
I just blew that one, didn't I? All right. Many have participated in seeing things that others have never experienced. You know, you can come to the aspect of just your travels alone. Pastor starts talking about maybe Egypt. And he said, boy, it'd be nice if we could do a little Bible study on Egypt sometime. You know, you're talking about Moses and all the different things. And then you start up and you say, hey, can I tell you about the Valley of Musa? The Valley of Musa? Yeah, the Valley of Moses, which is right on the western side of Jordan. It goes from down at the southern tip all the way up to across beside Jordan. Oh, by the way, I've walked it. I've driven it. It falls right into Petra. Well, by the way, there's a mount right above it, which the folks there believe that that's the place where Aaron was buried. And you think that helps add a little bit to some context of a Bible study, or even if you're working with some children, say, hey, you know, here's some things to take into consideration. You can show some pictures of where you've been there. Or, man, pastor goes, I'd like to know that. That's good. Some of you guys have sailed the seven seas. It's amazing how many Bible illustrations there are about sea and being out on a boat. You know, all of a sudden my mind's being flooded with different thoughts of just even Jesus himself out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm blow up at sea. And some of you guys can say, hey, I've been there, I've seen that, and this is kind of what it's like. And let me tell you the experience it is. And folks going, man, you just brought a whole new dynamic to that study because of those experiences. And so when a pastor is able to know, that's what these guys bring to the table. Amazing stuff. Another piece that's the less pleasant piece about this is the fact that some of these guys, a lot of guys on active duty and a lot of these older guys that you have in the churches, they've seen combat too. They've been in combat.
And that's another, I don't want to call it a skill set, but there's an experience that some of these folks have gone through that when it comes to helping to understand stuff, pastor, maybe he's a young guy, and he's never done a death notification before, or he's never had to deal with the grief of reaching out to someone. You know what? Maybe he has a veteran there. Maybe he has a chaplain. And the guy who's done this for multiple times, I will tell you, my pastor has told me several different times, man, it's refreshing having a chaplain that I can ask these questions of as it pertains to these veterans and different things that they're doing. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. So that
it can be a huge help in the experiences. Got to rush on here. And then, of course, many of them have specialized training. Again, you go back to the MP, the military police thing. How huge help. Maybe you got a guy that's a mechanic. Maybe you got a guy that was a transportation officer.
Okay. Think outside the box for a second. How could those guys be used in the ministry? How could a transportation officer be used, Matt?
Taking teens to camp.
How about a bus ministry? Hey, who here knows anything about... I used to do this for a living, keeping the buses going and transportation piece. And you know, I could help you, pastor, get a bus ministry started. And can I tell you something that's interesting? Let me deviate my little rabbit trail. Here it is. You guys, military guys, all know this. So, and you have to help the pastors to understand this, too. Because sometimes pastors don't get it. But here it is. Ready? Military guys do not ever volunteer.
Maybe never even volunteer yourself.
True or false?
The majority of military guys have been taught from training, don't ever volunteer.
Why do I say that? Because you may have some guys that's sitting in those pews, and they have these skills, but because of that training, don't ever volunteer. They're not the ones that come and tell the pastor. It's not until the pastor goes and says, hey, anybody got this skill? And then they'll reluctantly raise their hand, only about this high. But it's not until that pastor goes, hey, but here's what I have found about the military guys. If you go and ask them face to face, can you do this?
Yeah, I can do this.
Would you like to do this as a ministry?
Oh, man, I love it.
And once they're in, and they feel as they have a place to serve, they're locked. And it's amazing to see what these guys bring to the table because of it. A lot of times it's that pastor having to go and ask the question. So all you military guys, can I tell you something? Step outside the box and help the pastor. Maybe pull up alongside the pastor and say, hey, you know these veterans, these military guys you have here? I could suggest some ways that you could utilize these guys in this ministry. And oh, by the way, pastor, they're not going to come to you. You're going to have to go to them and ask them, because these guys have been pretty much trained, don't ever volunteer.
Is that true or false? And I found that that's been true within some couple of ministries we've been in. But once you ask one of those guys to do it, man, it's amazing. And then, of course, how can a pastor use all these in the church? I think we've talked about some of that already. What would be good for a pastor to know about these people? They're different. But that's okay. Because the Bible specializes on being different. That's exactly what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God takes those diversities of ministrations and ministries and skills and experiences and talents and brings them all together as He so pleases for His honor and glory. But here's one last piece here that we have to take a look at, because there is one other unique thing about the minister, the veterans or the military folks, that you have to take into consideration. They also come with some unique personal needs. Some of these guys come with some personal needs. And until you start spending time with him, and that's where we as individuals of the military are extremely beneficial in helping that pastor, and especially in your guys' capacity as the majority of your chaplains, is to be able to say, hey, pastor, that individual over there, that veteran, he's struggling. He's got some issues. In a nice way. There's some things that I can see that he's got. What do you mean? I've talked to him a little bit, and if you would talk to them, you would see that maybe he's struggling with a few things. And it may just be because of those experiences and seeing things that no one else has ever seen before. But you see this, you come back, and some are suffering silently, sitting there in the pew. Never say a thing to anybody. But they're suffering inside. And as that pastor is able to pull up alongside of them and really start to get to know them, he comes to realize there's some signs here that says, this guy's got some struggles internally. And therefore some personal needs, some additional ministry. As much as they can be used, they also have to have be ministered to themselves, right? And then of course, what would be good for a pastor to know about these people? So let's just say, use your thinking cap here. So let's just say, Roger, you're a pastor of the church. You know that you've got some veterans in there. And you're getting to know those individuals a little bit more personally each time. What would be some good things for you to know as that pastor about that person's career?
Accomplishments, ranks, recognitions, things that are unique to their background and life experience, and how can that be applied? From a personal perspective, my dad was a fool too, but Joe Vaughn used to bring the senior high teams over to the house to do a question and answer with Dad about D-Day and World War II and what he experienced. And it was a double-sided coin, because Joe's motivation was he wanted those teenagers to learn from a Christian perspective what took place in Dad's life. But what it did for Dad was amazing too. It gave him a sense of value that he was having an impact.
Amen.
So that's really
good. Now, is it your dad or Melinda's dad that was out there at the park that time when all this happened?
My dad.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember our chaplain there in Taylor, South Carolina, with his dad sitting out there at that picnic bench, and our guy starting to interact with his dad, and all of a sudden his dad opened up and started talking stuff that I think somebody came back and said, we've never heard him talk about it. Is that true? I'm like, and for the first time, and see, this brought a whole action, and when a pastor is able to find that out about people, whoa, this had opened the door. So not only how to meet his needs, but other things for him. Also, from the standpoint of maybe to know, have you ever been in combat before? A lot of guys, they have. And that adds a whole new dimension to say, whether it's the World War II guy or even Desert Storm or whatever version we're in now, to where people are at. But those are all good things that you'd want to know. And because of that, how can a pastor reach out to these in his church when he knows that? And this is where I find that pastors struggle sometimes, because they say, I'm not sure how to reach out to these guys. I'm not sure how to meet their needs. Our pastor came to me and says, Brother Willis, I don't think I've ever really dealt with a guy that's struggling with PTSD like this. Where do I even start? How do I even go to really start helping them? Because some of these guys may not always open up. And so being able to pull up alongside that pastor and say, hey, here's some ways that you can help. Number one, we always go back to the aspect of spiritually. Because that's the bottom line. We go back to the aspect of the spiritually, because all this is connected back to our spiritual well-being. So you can never take that apart, and every pastor has that in his arsenal, right? How to help them spiritually. And that's key. But then also how to help them practically. Now here's some things of how to take these situations that you have been a part of, run them through the spiritual gauntlet, and help them to practically get through these things that they're suffering through, and those needs that they may have, so that you're able to help that person to get everything they need. And then, of course, pastors ask me on a regular basis, what resources are out there? Are there resources that can help me to be able to get across to these people? And I say, yeah. Sometimes it's just putting in contact with individuals. And in some cases, and I'm not sitting here trying to be a salesman in any way, shape, or form for any books,
But I've carried a couple around for some time. Sometimes they're basic. You know, some of you maybe have used them, say, well, you know, that wasn't always the best for that particular situation. Okay, fine. But there's tools out there. So, you know, you've got ones like Wounded Spirits. You've got another version, a handbook of answers from heaven on different things. And you may know of a whole bunch yourself. And you know what I would love? Is for us to be able to have those type of resources available so that when people ask, we could readily reach back and say, hey, so-and-so shared with me this particular book. Said it was excellent in helping us. So let me just open this up. Anybody else know of any other good resources? And by the way, it's being recorded, so that's good because other people, if they ever go back and listen to this, can say, hey, they're knowing what these are as well. But anybody else know of any other good resources out there, book-wise, pamphlet-wise, curriculum-wise, anything of that nature, that could be helpful maybe from someone with PTSD or struggling with some of these TBIs? Paul?
Something that's really helped with some of the PTSD groups that I have were first responders. There's a first responders healing manual. But there's the same group that wrote that also did a veterans healing manual. But then also the same group has a wife's version that specifically targets the wives of veterans, and that they've done a really good job of starting off with the basics of where was God in this particular moment, and it transitions them through the whole process of struggling spiritually through the post-traumatic stress.
It's sad to say that I talked about all this and I didn't even include the aspect of the family piece to that, but so spot on, because it's not the military guy or gal that's suffering, it's also that immediate family that's also struggling with those as well. And believe me, in our church we've got two guys right now that are extreme TBI/PTS, and it's a challenge. And talking to their spouses, and my wife talking to their wives, we pray for them consistently because we know that it's a challenge, very, very difficult. Many times it doesn't always work out well. Sometimes it ends up going to divorce and other things. And next thing you know, now you complicated the effort, the aspect with all of that on top of it. And then you throw on there this aspect of hopelessness and you end up with suicide. And then you throw in that piece in there as well. So a lot of dynamics. So you got the good sometimes and sometimes the not so good with working with folks. Tim.
One thing that I found that's helpful for pastors is a program that the VA has. It's called Community Clergy Training Program. I don't know if you've heard of that. CCTP.
Yeah.
I'm a facilitator for that. It's really provided a lot of valuable information. I've even had retired Army chaplains that attended it. Other veterans that suffered PTSD challenges in their lives that have gone through and helped them put labels and understandings to what they're going through personally.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of resources out there for pastors to attend certain programs to put finer points on
them. I have found since I've been retired, and due to the fact that having a lot of interaction now with the VA, there is a boatload of resources through the VA system with this very thing, that all you have to do is just go into the vahealth.net and you can, there's all kinds of stuff that in some cases to be able to take to a pastor and say, hey, here's some resources for you as well. Oh, by the way, that particular person has direct access to because they are a veteran. And maybe even the veteran doesn't know about it, which was the case with one of our guys at church. He said, I didn't even know that I was available for this opportunity.
That is frequent.
Yeah, it is frequent. Especially it's even more so when I found out that only 25-30% of all veterans utilize the VA system. Take that and put it in your pipe. 25-30% only use the VA on a regular basis. So what's the other 75% doing? And so that's a whole issue in and of itself. So, all right. So thank you so very much. Yes, Sean, real quick.
Yeah, I was just There's one another resource I wanted to mention. It's online. It's called Resilient Warrior. It's done by Dan Stoller. He's an 06 Navy chaplain, Southern Baptist chaplain, who also has a PhD in psychology. He wrote a good article some time ago called The Nathan Solution to the Bathsheba Syndrome.
Wow.
He has some really good information based upon his understanding of psychology, chaplaincy, and wounded warrior type thing. So he's a good resource. Resilient Warrior is called.
Amen. Yes, Larry.
I just picked up a book here a couple weeks ago that was recommended. This is good not only for PTSD, that aspect, but all trauma, whether it's child abuse, all that kind of stuff, it's great for churches. So unsaved doctor, but boy, it gives a tremendous insight. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. Brain, mind, and body is the healing, and in the healing of trauma.
Say that one more time so it's, we're recording.
Body Keeps the Score.
Okay.
Subtitle, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma.
Okay.
Just a really good perspective on how to approach trauma in a whole lot of areas.
Very good. All right. Guys, I thank you so very much for your time. Hope this has been helpful to maybe to pass along to ministers that you're working with to help them to realize what great things that they have to be able to work with in that body of believers, how to utilize them for the honor and glory of God. Amen.